And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, during the breaks, you guys hear the commercials play, and let me just remind you guys, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a freestanding business, and when you hear us live on the radio, we send our show to them. They don't own our show. We own our show. And the only way we can sustain our operations is through contributions and by people buying ads. So if you hear this show and you're thinking, man, those guys got it going on. They talk like me. They think like me. I want my business to be aligned with them. Well, we'd love to have you. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a whole bunch of right side ruffians out there that pay attention to who advertises on this show. And so, yeah, if you want to advertise a right side, you don't call the station. You got to call us. So, yeah, go to our website. RightsideRadio.org. That's RightsideRadio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message. We will get back in touch with you post haste. Just had another one that was very interested. We sent them all the information just over the weekend. So yeah, check it out. RightsideRadio.org. Send us a message on the advertising tab. We would love to have you on the team. All right, I am switching gears. Let's move on here. We'll still take your thoughts and cares and concerns and feelings about 9/11 and about the Biden administration and yada yada. But here's the thing. Oh, by the way, I got it. Okay, I have to go ahead and be corrected. Who was that? It was DT from Elkmont. A minute ago, I was talking about Pelosi, and I just went there. I said she's running for Senate for a 6-year term. My bad. He even asked the question: is Pelosi running for Senate? You are so correct. She's a member of the House of Representatives. She's a congresswoman. So it's a 2-year term. Oh, good. She'll only be 83. That's okay. But DT, thanks for catching me on that. I appreciate it. Humble to receive your feedback. Okay. Did you hear what happened in New Mexico? Boomer, have you heard what happened in New Mexico?
No. What's going on in New Mexico? What's in New Mexico other than...
New Mexicans.
What's going on?
The governor of New Mexico, apparently there was a shooting at some point over the weekend, which is unfortunate. You hear about them in urban centers all over the nation. Somebody has a drive-by or something like that. I don't know the status, what happened. About an 11-year-old kid was killed. Tragedy. But the governor's response to this is to ban firearms completely from the city of Albuquerque for the next, I think, 60 days.
Well, that's going to go well.
Does she know where she's living?
Right.
This is New Mexico. There's a whole lot of rednecks in New Mexico, too. But I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of people out there that carry firearms. And so she is banned both concealed and open carry. And if you're caught with it, what happens? I don't know. It's absolutely, she even said, and I know I sent you a clip to get ready for today. I don't know if you realize what all that was about, but I sent you this clip. It's the governor speaking, and she literally says at one point that there are constitutional rights are not absolute. And so it was her job as governor to suspend constitutional liberties what she did was she declared a public health emergency for gun violence. I mean, so this is what you do now. If you're a liberal, you declare an emergency so you can enforce martial law with the emergency that you created. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Make sense.
This is not going to stand.
No.
But I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's do this before I even. And by the way, top of the hour, keep in mind, Bob Barr, who is a former U.S. congressman who ran for president himself. He is going to be on the show with us. He sits on the National Rifle Association's National Board of Directors. But, Boomer, you got that clip. It's about a minute and 40 seconds long-ish. And this is the governor of New Mexico this weekend declaring that she has the right to suspend constitutional liberties because she says so. Play it.
Yeah. Your point is valid.
You took an oath to the Constitution. Isn't it unconstitutional to say you cannot exercise your carry license?
With one exception, and that is if there's an emergency, and I've declared an emergency for a temporary amount of time, I can invoke additional powers. No constitutional right, in my view, including my oath, is intended to be absolute.
Wow.
There are restrictions on free speech. There are restrictions on my freedoms. in this emergency, this 11-year-old and all these parents who have lost all these children, they deserve my attention to have the debate about whether or not in an emergency we can create a safer environment. Because what about their constitutional rights? I took an oath to uphold those too. And if we ignore this growing problem without being bold, I've said to every other New Mexican, your rights are subrogated to theirs. And they are not, in my view.
Wait a minute, okay. You're talking about crimes. There are already laws against the crimes, so how are their rights?
I got it. But again, if I'm unsafe, who's standing up for that right? If this climate is so out of control, somebody should do something. I'm doing as much as I know to do.
Madam Governor, yep. Do you really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No. But here's what I do think. It's a pretty resounding message.
It's a pretty resounding message, all right.
That message is going to get across to them.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Madam Governor, do you think that the criminals are not going to carry a gun? Well, no. But so what she just said was...
Exactly what she just said was, I'm sorry, the people that actually are going to carry the guns are the ones that we don't want to carry the guns.
Yeah.
Like, what is she thinking? She just went back on her what she just said right there.
What she's thinking is she's a total liberal who doesn't get the fact that there are absolutes in life, and one of which is civil liberties trump her emotions. Civil liberties trump her emotions. She does not deserve to be the governor of the state of New Mexico. But in the middle of all that too, she made the point. What this is really about, I think the way she said it was, what this is really about is initiating the debate. Oh, okay. So it's really not about keeping people safe. It's about making sure that you've started to set the groundwork for the big debate. I see.
Wow.
So, I mean, I cannot figure out how she believes that if one criminal shot one child, which is awful.
Terrible.
But if one criminal shot one child, then everybody else who's law-abiding needs to be punished. And then she says, if I feel unsafe, that's what it's... You've got a security detail with you. You've got state troopers that go with you everywhere you go. You've got a personal security detail. You probably ride in an armored SUV. You've got people who have alarm systems and security checkpoints and everything. But you're unsafe? No, you're not. And oh, by the way, wouldn't you just love to be the tourism director for the city of Albuquerque right now?
Well, also think on this is now she just told all the criminals, hey, I'm going to make sure all the law-abiding citizens aren't carrying their weapons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that guns weren't allowed in Tombstone, and the OK Corral happened anyway.
Yeah,
just saying.
Oh.
This is nuts. So yeah, it's story here on local news KOAT out in New Mexico came out and said New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has declared gun violence as a public health emergency after an 11-year-old boy was killed in Albuquerque. Lujan Grisham said this move comes after repeated cases of gun violence in New Mexico communities. This is unreal. I mean, there have been multiple traffic accidents. Therefore, I declare an automobile health emergency. There have been multiple children who have fallen out of trees. Therefore, I declare a public health tree climbing emergency. I could go on and on. She says, the time for standard measures has passed. Today I'm declaring gun violence a public health emergency in New Mexico. And the executive order will provide $750,000 to state agencies for the purpose of reducing gun violence. I'm just curious as to how well this is going to be, I don't know, enforceable. Like, what's law enforcement supposed to do? Can they stop you? They're not going to do stop and frisk, I guarantee you. Liberals hate that. So... what happens when you open carry? Oh, that's right. A whole bunch of them did. Yes. Isn't that funny? When people do exactly the most American thing they could possibly do, like, you can't carry your gun, let's all go out there and carry our guns.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll tell you all about that when we get back from the break. Hey, coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to be continuing this conversation about what just happened in New Mexico. We'll have the conversation with Bob Barr, who is a former congressman from Georgia, who served as a U.S. attorney appointed by Reagan, who actually ran for president himself and now serves as a member of the board of directors for the National Rifle Association. I'm pretty sure the NRA has got some views on what's going on in New Mexico. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio from right down in Gadsden, Alabama. I'm talking about we got local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We're covering the segment of the show that I call Live Free or Die, talking about the Second Amendment and the suspension thereof, supposedly, by the New Mexico governor just this past weekend. Listen, you've heard some of my commentary as we led into the topic, but I want to bring on a guest here in a moment. Bob Barr is somebody who, basically, if you're a conservative, you've either read his stuff, heard him speak, or you know of his career at the very least. He was a U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Georgia, appointed by President Reagan back in the 80s. He also, by the way, served as a congressman from the 7th District of Georgia from 1995 to 93. He's an attorney by trade. I can appreciate that. He also chairs an organization called Liberty Guard, which is a nonprofit organization that protects civil liberties. He also, by the way, he was a Libertarian nominee for president in 2008. A prolific writer. You can find his stuff on places like townhall.com, Daily Caller, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a number of books he's written. Here's the bottom line. For the purposes of our conversation, aside from all of that, he is also the first vice president of the board of directors for the National Rifle Association. So without further ado, after that long intro, let me go ahead and bring in Congressman Bob Barr. Congressman, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Phil, it's great to be with you and your listeners today. And although your introduction was a little bit long, it was 100% accurate. I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your service to the country and to conservatism in general. But let me ask you something. First of all, I mean, with your position on the NRA board, would you be able to address from the NRA's perspective what you see in New Mexico right now?
Well, the perspective of the NRA is the same as the perspective of you and probably almost every one of your listeners, and that is anybody who understands the Constitution of the United States and particularly the Bill of Rights and particularly the Second Amendment, which guarantees to the people the right to keep and bear arms. And from that perspective, whether you're looking at it as an officer of the NRA or simply as a parent concerned about protecting your children against violence and drug abuse, what the governor of New Mexico and the Secretary of Public Health in New Mexico have done is not only idiotic in terms of trying to address the drug problems and the criminal gun problem in New Mexico. It's counterproductive, but it is probably the most blatant thumbing of the government nose to the Second Amendment that I've seen in a long time. I mean, she doesn't, the governor, that is, doesn't even make a pretense for pretending it's constitutional. She knows it's not, but she says, hey, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think what we have here is one of the latest trends is let's declare an emergency so that we can suspend civil liberties so that we can maintain our powers during the emergency that we declared. I mean, it's really a catch-22 the way they've set it up. Wouldn't you agree?
Not only would I agree, but you've really put your finger, Phil, on something that is important that we look at in a lot of states. Even in my home state of Georgia, similar to other states, a vast majority of which have similar emergency laws on the books that have in many instances been on the books for decades that give a governor vast powers if he or she declares a, quote, emergency. These things have been slipped in there, and you know, if you have a good governor, they're not going to be abused. But if you don't have a good governor, one who cares about the Constitution and the rule of law, like the governor of New Mexico, these longstanding emergency powers statutes can be dredged up whenever a governor feels the need to do so and can just stamp out, temporarily at least, fundamental constitutional liberties that we have, not just the right to keep and bear arms, but the right to engage in commerce and transportation and so forth. You know, people in every state ought to take a very hard look at those laws and demand that they be scaled back. Because, you know, here in Georgia, for example, a governor, you know, we have a great governor right now, Governor Brian Kemp, but if we didn't, the governor could declare an emergency, and it's very ill, vaguely defined, and do all sorts of stuff in addition to limiting Second Amendment rights.
Well, and I've said on my show multiple times, I'm an attorney myself, but I'm also just a lover of liberty in general. But I've said on my show multiple times that the First and Second Amendments were First and Second for a reason. And if we lose the First and the Second, it's going to be really hard to keep all the rest. I look at this governor's actions, and she didn't even, you said it yourself, no pretense. She even said, I think in one of her quotes, she really knows this was about establishing the parameters of the debate. And I think what she's saying is, I wanted to do this to generate the buzz and to generate the possibility of a lawsuit that maybe we can do something with. There's nothing about protectionism here. It's about power, and it's about, you know, reducing gun rights.
And the fact that you have a governor who feels that secure in her power that she can just wantonly declare a constitutional right to be basically null and void for basically an indeterminate amount of time. Because, you know, you look at there were two executive orders that she signed, one on criminal gun violence, the other on the drug abuse problems in New Mexico, and says, oh, these are of unknown duration. Well, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
Of unknown duration. You know, so these things could go on far beyond the initial month that she says the specific restrictions might be in effect.
Well, you know, COVID was 14 days to flatten the curve that took 2.5 years to get rid of. But let me ask you this, Congressman. I mean, you being a first VP of the NRA's board, there have been two lawsuits filed almost immediately over the weekend that I'm aware of. One was filed by the National Association for Gun Rights. The other was filed by the Gun Owners of America. Is there a plan of action on behalf of the NRA? Where do you see it going? What actual practical stance are y'all taking on the issue?
We're certainly monitoring it very carefully, and we're in touch with the folks in New Mexico. But I don't want to kind of get ahead of our legal department in terms of specific steps that we might be taking. But rest assured, we're monitoring it very carefully, and we'll do we'll take some very solid steps to help the people of New Mexico, because this is something that cannot stand for the people in New Mexico. And if it's allowed to stand in New Mexico, it will then, of course, as we've seen in other states like New York, California, be used as precedent for these other states as well. So this sort of thing has got to be nipped in the bud.
Well, I agree, and there's already been some protests, and I suspect we're not through seeing them, but Daily Caller, one of the sources that you write for periodically, Daily Caller, it reports as of last night, there's already been a large gathering of New Mexicans who were walking around open carrying their firearms in protest, and the police did nothing about it, because I feel certain that the vast majority of law enforcement does not like being put in this position.
They don't, and we see the same thing in some of these other states. I recall a couple of years ago, the sheriff in Los Angeles County telling Governor Newsom that I'm not going to start arresting people. This was under some of the COVID restrictions. If a law enforcement official, sheriffs in particular, who are elected by the people and take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States, are put in the position of being told by a governor to enforce a clearly unconstitutional executive order, it puts them in a very difficult position. And some of the sheriffs in New Mexico are doing the right thing and saying, we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to penalize people for exercising their constitutionally guaranteed right, despite what the governor says they can't do.
Well, and she is... She's in a class of liberal leadership that seems intent upon pushing their limits of late, and I'm not aware of any. I'm asking you if you are. Is she flying solo right now, or are you aware of any other states that are considering joining in the fray on this this type of a public health order?
I think she is basically carrying the administration's water as a test case to see what goes on here. We know in New York, for example, right after last June of last year, the Bruin decision, the state of New York passed a law that was even worse than the Sullivan Act that gave rise to the Bruin decision. New Jersey did the same thing. California, what these states do is they watch for a particular decision that either supports or does not support what they're doing, and then they build on that. So what the governor of New Mexico is doing here, I think, is sort of putting a toe in the water on behalf of the administration, the Biden administration, that would like to see what happens here and is probably receiving encouragement behind the scenes from them, as well as from states like California and New York and a number of others as well.
I would agree. And I'll wait and see. I can imagine some Washington State or Oregon State or some of the others that who knows. But right now, I think she has tried to establish herself as, like you said, the test case for where we are. What I don't know, though, is how in the world does she intend to enforce this? Because, you know, one of the things that I saw during my time in the state legislature is there's times when you can have a really neat idea. It's completely unenforceable. And so you have to really question, you have to triage the moment and decide, can you really even do something like this? Not only is it going to have to pass constitutional muster, it has to also be practical in its application. And there is zero practicality in this.
There is. I mean, for example, you look at the public health order that the New Mexico Secretary of Department of Public Health, which actually issued the law-abiding citizens' firearm restrictions, and you know, they say, "Well, gee, you know, you're going to be subject to civil and administrative penalties if you violate this." They don't know what those are. The average citizen doesn't. This thing is unconstitutional on so many levels, including the vagueness in whether or not it puts a citizen on notice, what they would be subject to, what sort of penalty. Yeah, there's I can't imagine that either the governor or the secretary of public health in New Mexico could sign these things with a straight face. I mean, it's just so blatantly unconstitutional, both in terms of its substance and its process, that hopefully they won't withstand the challenges that have already been filed against them.
Well, Congressman, listen, I appreciate you making time for us today, especially on short notice. I appreciate your service to conservatism and to this country. And my audience here at Right Side Radio, they identify as Right Side Ruffians. So we're going to declare you an honorary Right Side Ruffian.
I appreciate that very much, Phil, and look forward to being with you and your listeners again soon as we follow not just this, but other challenges to our constitutional liberties.
Good enough. Congressman Bob Barr, thanks for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Phil.
Well, I ran that about a minute or two long, but let's go ahead and take the break right now. But listen, that was interesting to me. It just took a little bit of reaching out this weekend, and next thing I know, I had a member of the actual board of directors for the entire National Rifle Association. And I appreciate him making time for this. But it's organizations like the NRA and Gun Owners of America and some of the others that's why we join these associations, so they can stand in the gap for us at times. This is one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. So I'm finishing up this this section. That was a great conversation. Just hearing, I just appreciated hearing somebody else who is not just a pundit, but I mean, this is Congressman Bob Barr has been around fighting in the trenches for conservative principles for a while now, and he is on the National Rifle Association's National Board of Directors. So appreciate his time. Out there in New Mexico, just so you know, a couple things as I wrap this up. Number one, I mentioned when I was talking to Congressman Barr, there have already been a couple of legal actions filed, like almost immediately. So I think that order went in place, I want to say Friday. And then lo and behold, on Saturday, the National Association for Gun Rights filed a lawsuit against New Mexico's Democratic governor, according to CNN. Filed against the governor and the health secretary. I guess the health secretary is all in on this. Sure, use my department. Declare a health emergency, governor. That'll be great. But anyway, one lawsuit filed, the National Association for Gun Rights said in their lawsuit, quote, "The state must justify the carry prohibition by demonstrating it is consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation, but it is impossible for the state to meet this burden because there is no such historical tradition of firearms regulation in the nation." Excellent point. Second lawsuit was also filed on Saturday. I mean, like I'm talking about within 24 hours. And that's Gun Owners of America. And their suit likens the executive order and its public health emergency declaration to martial law and says it's a suspension of constitutional rights. But here's the bottom line. Lawsuits, yes, they're important. What's also important is story here on the Daily Caller. It says New Mexicans do the most American thing ever to defy the Second Amendment ban. New Mexican gun owners sent a powerful but peaceful message to Sunday to Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham by openly carrying their firearms after she placed a 30-day ban on their Second Amendment rights. It says Grisham issued an emergency order for 30 days, arguing it was a public health emergency. Open carry and concealed carry, both prohibited. Dozens of peaceful New Mexicans were then observed open carrying their firearms in protest. One of the guys at the protest, carrying American and Gadsden flags, said, quote, "All we want to do is protect our families, our friends, our communities. I've gone on 2 combat tours as a Marine and fought on the front lines, and I've done 11 trips as an independent contractor. and she thinks she has the right to take away my freedom to protect my community? I don't think so. Police reportedly did not intervene or enforce the so-called public health order because it's unenforceable. What do you do with this? Excuse me, this thing that I know that I don't agree with either, I'm coming to you right now to tell you to stop. Okay. All right, listen, we're going to come back. I tell you what, I'm thinking I might pull an audible here. I'm just going to call an audible. Omaha. Let's talk about 9/11 some more. Give me your thoughts. Where were you when 9/11 happened? I'd love to hear it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.